Today's shir is Masecht on the Dorim Daf Ayin. We will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Boy Rava. To review the concepts that we have been learning. A girl, a woman, who's a daughter or a wife, her husband, her father, under certain circumstances, could be mefer her neder. The halacha, however, is that he has to be made for the nether b'yoyim shamay, the day he hears about the nether. If the day passes without him being made for the nether is automatically confirmed and no longer could be mufar. Furthermore, another way of being mekayim, of confirming a nether, the first type of kiyum that we just discussed is what we would call a passive kiyum. The day passed and it automatically became confirmed. But there's an active kiyum where the father, the husband, under the circumstances, are actually mekayim the nether, confirm the nether on the day that they hear the nether, that the halacha is that the nether is then a confirmed nether which can no longer be released. Starts the Gemara, Boi Rava, kiyum l'chi hayoyim. If somebody used the following statement, he said, "Kim l'chiyayim, I'm being mekayim the nether today." And there are many different pshatim in the Rishonim in explaining the Gemara. We're going to work primarily with the pshat of the Ran, but we will also try to point out some of the cogent points that the other Rishonim make. Somebody made the statement, "Kim l'chiyayim," and obviously this is not your typical kiyum. Because the typical kiyum would be kiyum l'chi, I'm being mekayim the nether. Here this person added the word hayoyim. So the question is, mahu? How do we view this kiyum? Mi aminin k'manda amala mufal chilamachar, that implied in these words are, I'm being mekayim, for today it should be mekoyim, but for tomorrow it should be mufar. Oidum ahala amala. We can't add words, and we can't read words into what he's saying, because he didn't say it. And he only said the words, kim l'cha hayoyim. So to read into his statement, kim l'chi hayoyim, mufal chalamachar, we have no right to read into it. So the question that comes up, which the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, is at this point of the Gemara, and we'll perhaps not stick to this point as we go further into the Gemara, what would be the din if he expressly said kim l'chi hayoyim or mufal l'chal l'macher? Then for sure the Gemara would be suggesting that that would be a the nether would be mekoyim today and mufar tomorrow. But isn't that contradictory to the way we began our shir and we said that tomorrow is too late? So the Achronim answer that certainly at this point of the Gemara, we were thinking that if somebody says kim l'chi hayoyim or mufal l'chal l'macher, the nether will be released. It's not to be understood that he wants the hafara only to be effective tomorrow. Because as we said, tomorrow is already after Yom Shamay. And tomorrow is already too late for the nether to be mufar. We have to understand that mufal l'chal l'macher means that I want the hafara to begin today. I want it first to be a kiyum, and then the hafara is still to begin today. Just like we have many times in halacha, a concept that we could do a kinyan that begins today and only ends 30 days later or whatever period of time later. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that if you said kim l'cha hayoyim and mufal l'cha l'machar, it would be a good hafara. The problem here is that he only used the words kim l'chi hayoyim, not saying anything more than that. And the question is, should we understand that he meant to say mufal l'chal l'machar? Well, we can't say that because he didn't say that explicitly. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. The Rosh has an interesting approach. The Rosh's approach is that certainly if somebody says kim l'chi hayoyim, a mufal l'chal l'machar, the nether is not mufar. Because as we just said, tomorrow is too late. It's after the Yom Shamay. Because he only said kim l'chi hayoyim, on the side that we are going to read into his statement that he meant umufal chalamacher. Since he didn't say it, we have to say it's not your typical afara, that he means that afara should mean tomorrow. It means that afara should begin today. So according to Rush, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If somebody says kim l'chi hayoyim, umufal chalamacher, it certainly cannot be afara. Because like we said, tomorrow is too late for the afara. Only if he said kim l'cha hayoyim without saying anything more, is the Gemara asking, do we say he only said kim l'cha hayoyim, and that's all I hear, and that's all I know, and all I have is a kim? Or do we say implied in this statement is that a muf l'cha l'macher, which begins of how far off today? In Tim Tzolaymer, continues the Gemara, and if we'll suggest, how could I say he said something that he didn't say? Why would be mufal chalamacher? If somebody only used the words mufal chalamacher, mahu, miyamin lamachal matzim mefer, tomorrow's too late. The kaim leil nidre hayoyim. Because implicit in the words of mufal chalamacher are the kim cha hayoyim and the ned is ready mekuyim. Adilma, kivin de loy amalai, kim l'chi hayoyim. He didn't use those words. All he said was, mufal chalamacher. So for us to read in, and for us to imply that he meant, kim l'chi hayoyim, he didn't say it. Adilma, kivin de loy amalai, kim l'chi hayoyim. He didn't use those words. Ki kamalai mufal chalamacher. The only words he used was mehayoyim kamar. He only used today. He only meant, he only used the words of Hafara, and all I say he meant was Hafara. He's saying that Hafara should be tomorrow, and tomorrow is too late. It's after the Yom Shammai. We go back to what we said earlier. What he really meant was that the Hafara should be completed tomorrow, but it should begin today, and today is still Yom Shammai. Says the Ran. Our Gemara is discussing two extremes. The Gemara began with a shayl of kim l'chi hayoyim, and should we assume that when he said kim l'chi hayoyim, he meant to say umufal chalamacher? That was one shayl the Gemara asked. The second shayl the Gemara asked was, if Hami only said mufal chalamacher, should we read into his words, should we imply into his words that he meant kim l'chi hayoyim or not? Those are the two extremes that the Gemara discusses. But the Ran says there's one situation the Gemara doesn't discuss. What happens if he says kim l'chi hayoyim or mufal chalamacher? He said the whole statement. We don't have to read or imply anything to what he said. He said it clearly. Kim l'chi hayoyim mufal chalamacher. What would be the halacha then? The Gemara doesn't discuss it. The Gemara doesn't mention it. Says the Ran that even though the Gemara doesn't say it, it's part of the shayla of the Gemara. And the way to understand the Gemara is that the Gemara is going from one shayla to the next shayla to the next shayla. The first shayla the Gemara asked is, if somebody only said the words kim l'chi hayoyim, should we read in mufal chalamacher or should we not? Question number one. Question number two is when he said the whole statement, kim l'chi hayoyim or mufal chalamacher. Gemara didn't expressly say that question, but that's a question that the Gemara is asking. Because what is the Gemara's question to explain it? Is, do we say that once he said kim l'cha hayoyim, mufal chalamacher is too late? Or do we say that when he said kim l'cha hayoyim and mufal chalamacher, he meant that the afara should already begin today, and therefore is mufar? And then the next shayla of the Gemara is, when somebody just used the words mufal chalamacher, do we say that that's certainly afara, and he meant that the afara should begin today and finish tomorrow, as we explained? Or should we say he meant that he kim l'cha hayoyim or mufal chalamacher, that the kim should be today and the hafara should be tomorrow, and tomorrow's too late for the hafara? So the Gemara actually is asking three shaylas, the way the Ran explains the Gemara very beautifully, and the Gemara doesn't answer any of those shaylas. And we know that the Rambam has a rule that whenever the Gemara goes with an imtim tzloimer, if you'll say, the Rambam always paskins l'chumran an imtim tzloimer. And since we see that the Gemara is building one question on top of the next question, if we follow the Rambam's rule regarding imtim tzolaymer, the halacha will we have to be machmer in all these cases. In all these cases, we're going to have to consider the nether mekuyim, confirmed that can't be annulled. But now the Gemara goes even a step further with another shaila. Intim tzloimer. If we'll hold afila hachi kim de kim hayoyim lemocha kamandi isadami, that if somebody said kim lecha hayoyim, that confirms the nether, that this nether can no longer be released with hafara, because tomorrow is too late, and I won't be able to start explaining that he really meant that the hafara should begin today, because he says today should be kiyum, and the hafara should be only tomorrow. What would be the halacha if somebody said kim l'chi shaw? When he was mekayim the nether, again, going back to the beginning of the year, we're referring to an active confirmation. But he didn't just say kim l'cha hayoyim. He said kim l'cha shaw. So, do we say, mi amin kamanda amala mufil chalamach la'ach shaw, dummy? It's all today. He only meant that the kim should be for a short while of today. And what we will imply in his words are that he wants still today, there should be hafara. Now today is still Yom Shamay. Today is still a day that a hafara could take place. And therefore, the nether will be mufur, the nether will be released. Aydilma, halayamala. We can't read words into what you said. All we heard him saying was, kim l'chalasha. Yes, we have a question. If you want to be mekayim the nether, why did you add the words l'sha? It's a good question. But just because you have a question doesn't give you the right to imply and add words to a statement the way we never heard him say. And we therefore have no right to say that if he says kim l'cha l'sha, he meant that l'acha sha, it should be mufar. And continues the Gemara, hem tim tzolaymer halay amala. If we'll take the side that we have no right to add words to people's statements, and all he said was kim l'cha l'sha, we have no right to say that he meant, and he wanted to say, and he did say, he didn't say, he didn't say. The bottom line is he didn't say the words mufar l'cha l'acha sha, and therefore it's not mufar. Miu, what's going to be amala mai? Why would be a halacha if somebody expressly said kim l'cha l'sha or mufar l'cha l'acha sha? Miam meaning kim de kaima kaima. Do we say he was mekayim the nether? And once he's mekayim the nether, we know that the halach is, as we said at the introductory remarks to our shiur today, that once a nether is actively confirmed, that nether can never be mufar. Aydilma, kim de kulei yoyma, barakomo barakafarahu, since it's all day long, the yoyim shamay, ki ama mufal chal achasha, since he wants the afara to be effective, lachasha, and it's still the Yom Shamay, and he said expressly that he wants the Afara to be effective today, Mahani would be an effective Afara. So I saw a gewaldige explanation from a Shlomo Zalman Orbach in this Gemara. And at first glance, it sounds very yeshivish, but there's very great depth to what Shlomo Zalman says. Our Gemara, he says, is questioning that once I was Mekayim the Nether, albeit I was only Mekayim at L'sha, the Gemara's first side that of the question that we just said was, the nether can no longer be mufar. Why? She says there's two ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is that that the Gemara is assuming in this side of the Ibaya, that once you Mekayim a nether, even if you're only Mekayim at L'sha, it automatically extends itself and becomes a permanent kiyum. That's one way of understanding this side of the Ibaya. The other way of understanding this side of the Ibaya, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is that the Gemara means to say that once you have a nether that was Mekoyim, even though you were only Mekayim at L'sha, he said it very clearly, that nether is a nether that's no longer a candidate for Hafara. The Torah doesn't give that nether the ability to be Mufar. So as you hear me say this pshat, you think, and what's the difference? If you say that it's a kiyum, or we can't do afara. The bottom line is, it can't be mufar. What's Rav Shlomo Zalman trying to say? So he anticipates that question, and he says a beautiful nafkamina. It goes back to something we discussed in the previous year. In the previous year, we said that there are many Rishonim that say, that even though we know, and we discussed this at length earlier in our Masechta, that Nedarim we could do Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim means that we could go to a Rav and have the Rav annul the Neder. But in our previous year, we said that a Neder that was Mekuyim, that was confirmed, is a Neder that you can't go to a Rav to have Hataras Nedarim on. Many Rishonim hold. So now we can understand Rav Shlomo Zalman's Pshat. If we're going to understand that Kiyim L'chol Shah, the Gemara's understanding means a full-fledged Kiyim, the halach is that a neder that's Mekuyim, you can't, the woman would not be able, certainly her husband can't be made for it, but she can't even go to the Rav to have it annulled, because a neder that's Mekuyim cannot be annulled. If on the other hand we're going to explain that all Kiyim L'chol Shah teaches us is that a neder that had any sort of kiyim attached to it can no longer be mufr? Fine, it can't be mufr, but it could still be mutter. And this neder would be a neder that you could go to the Rav to have Hataras Nedarim. So it's very important to understand this side of the Shaila. And the other side of the Shaila is that since it was a temporary kiyim, the Gemara is saying it's a meaningless kiyim. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha of a temporary kiyim? Tashma. There's a Mishnah Masech the Nozer, Daf Chof from a base. A woman, a wife, accepts upon herself to be a Nazira. She says, Hareini Nazira, V'shama Bala, and her husband hears her saying it, V'amar Ani. He says, me too. So the halacha is, he's certainly a Nozer, but moreover, says the Mishnah, Eini Yechai Lahafer. Her Naziris can no longer be voided. Why? Because we're understanding the Vani to be a Kiyim. And since the Vani is a Kiyim, we know that Allah is that once the Neder, Naziris is a form of a Neder, is Mekuyim, it can no longer be Mufar. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, why is the Mishnah telling us that this Naziris, that the woman accepted upon herself, that the husband said Vani to, can no longer be Mufar? Vamai, name of Vani, the Omerhu, the need that the husband meant to say was al nafshei d'avin nazir. He meant to accept upon himself a naziris. I've already nazirah the law, the shachas kaima. All he meant was that it should be a temporary kiyim. Yet what do we see? That Mishnah is teaching us that once you have a temporary kiyim, the nether can no longer be mufar. So we see that a temporary kiyim cannot be mufar. I've already nazirah the law, the shachas kaima. Lach Shah, Ibar Lafer, after the Shah that he would want to be made for it, Amay and Yachal Afer. Why is it no longer able to be Mufar as Naziris? Lav Mashum must have not mean the Kiyim of the Kaim Mekayimi. The once he Mekayim another, even if he Mekayim it just Lashah, he could no longer be Mufar. So we have a Raya, the Kiyim Lashah, we can't be made for. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Loi, Ksavar Kovani, command on Mekayim L'chol Olam Dami. It could very well be that a key, that a neder, Naziris, that was Mekuyim L'shah, can be Mufar. But here we're dealing with a very interesting situation. We're dealing with a situation where a husband, in reaction to his wife's Naziris, said Vani. It's a very strong statement. And you know how to understand the statement of Vani? The way to understand that statement is not to understand it that he meant that I'm only making a Kiyim L'shah. It means I made a full-fledged Kiyim. And the Achronim explain in one of two ways. One way to understand it is, if the husband is building his Naziris on top, or on top of his wife's Naziris, obviously he means to make his wife's Naziris very strong, because it's the foundation of his Naziris. So obviously it's not just some sort of a flimsy kiyim l'shah, it's a strong kiyim. He's building his nose, he's building his whole naziris on her naziris. That's what most achronim learn. The Ragat Shavar in the Tzafnus Paneich learns just the opposite. Since he built his naziris on her naziris, and his naziris is a full-fledged naziris, his naziris lends strength and credence to her naziris, and that's the way her naziris is Mekuyim. We really end up in the same place. And the place that we end up is that this is not just a Kiyim L'shah that may be a Kiyim that could be Mufar afterwards. This is a strong Kiyim that there's no discussion that a strong Kiyim cannot be Mufar. Our Mishnah repeats a din that we spent a lot of time discussing this week that we will still, in Mitzvah Shem, discuss. Neisoav lo nisrak nirshus labal. As we have been discussing from the beginning of the perek, the name of the perek actually, Nara Murasa, that a woman who's a mureses, her husband and her father are meifa her nedarim jointly. But we learned that if something happens to the orus, that he passes away, the halach is neisoav lo nisrak nirshus labal. Here's the first mishnah begins, if something happens to the father. So the husband cannot assume the father's position. However, meisoval, if the husband dies, nisrakel rishus ha'av. The husband's position is taken over by the husband, by the father, and b'zeh yof koyach ha'av mikoyach ha'bal. So the father has more power than the husband. The father could assume the husband's position. The husband cannot assume the father's position. And just to repeat a shaila that we discussed already, when we have a situation of nisraitna, that the father is assuming the husband's position, how do we look at nisraitna? Do we look at it that it reverts back to the situation as it was when the girl was single? That we explained at the beginning of our parak, that when the girl is single, it's only her father who has jurisdiction on her. So here, although she was a rusa for a while, when her husband passes away, she reverts back to her original place, that she's completely under the sole jurisdiction of her father. That's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is that it's not that she reverts back. You can't go backwards in life. The father takes over the husband's position. And not only does he have his own rights, but he inherits the husband's rights. What's the nafkamina? And we spoke about this earlier. The nafkamina would be as follows. The Rambam holds that when a girl is in her father's jurisdiction, her father can be made for all types of nedarim. There's no limitation. All nedarim that she makes, her father could be made for. A husband, the Gemara says clearly, we learned this already, can only be made from the nedarim of beinoy lebeino and inu nefesh. And we said that the Lechem Mishnah explains that the Rambam's opinion is that even the Rambam, who's lenient and allowing a father to be made for all types of nedarim, will agree that once she's an arusa, he only can be made from the nedarim of beinoy lebeino and inu nefesh. So now the question is, this girl that we just discussed, who was an arusa, and husband died, and now we say that the father is the sole mefer. If she reverts back to her original position, so then the father reverts back to the original situation, so according to the Rambam, he'd be allowed to be made for all types of nedarim. If he's just inheriting the husband's position, he'd only be allowed to be made for, even though she doesn't have an arus anymore, nedarim beino lebeino and inu nefesh. However, continues the Mishnah, b'dover acher yofa koyach ha'bal mikoyach ha'av. And the other side is a place where the husband has more power than the father. Shabal meifer b'beger. We know that a girl's cycle, her physical life, is 3 points. First, she's a ketana. Then she comes 12 years old, provided that she brings the shtei simonim, she becomes a nara. And then at 12 and a half, she becomes a bogeres. A girl who's a bogeres, does her father has no jurisdiction over her. Makes no difference what her marital status is. A wife, however, even if she's a bogeris, her husband has a right to be made from the dorm. Shabal made from the beggar. A husband has a right to be made from the dorm of his wife, even though she's already a bogeris. Va'aveinim made from the beggar. But a father cannot be made from the dorm of his daughter once she's a bogeris. The Meshech Chachma says a very interesting vart. He says, We began our shiur today with speaking about the concept of Yom Shomai, that a father or a husband have only a right to be made from the Dorm by Yom Shomai. But he makes a very interesting point. If you look in the parasha, we discussed this parasha, Parashas Matos, that discusses all the dinim, all the rules of the Dorm, the Torah speaks about Yom Shomai by a husband, not the Yom Shomai by a father. And the question is, if the din of Yom Shomai applies both to a father and a husband, why does the Torah speak about it by a husband, not by a father? So he says, our mission is the answer to that question. Our mission teaches us that a father, if the daughter's a bogeris, he can't be made from the dorm. So just because it's Yom Shammai, doesn't mean that the father can be made from the dorm. Because let's say the daughter's a bogeris, he couldn't be mefer. By a husband, as we just explained, there is no difference between a father and between a bogeris and not a bogeris. A husband can always be mefer by Yom Shammai. That's why the Torah teaches us the din of Yom Shammai, by a husband, not by a father. But that is another question. The Beis Meir asked this question, the Karban Sanal asked this question. We just quoted a Rambam, that the Rambam says that a father can be made for any type of neder a daughter makes. A husband can only be made from the Doram Beino Lebeino and Inu Nefesh. So if our Mishnah, they ask, is pointing out the differences between a father and a daughter, a father and a husband, why doesn't our Mishnah make this difference? Point out this difference, that the father has the ability to be made for so many more nedarim than a husband, if our Mishnah is contrasting them. So, Reb David Pavarsky, I saw answers to this question, that our Mishnah is speaking about time, not really types of nedarim, different points in people's lives. That's how he answers. But according to the Lechem Mishnah that we just quoted, the answer is beautiful. Because the Lechem Mishnah taught us that even the Rambam agrees that a girl who's an Arusa, the father could only be made from the Dorim, Beino Lebeino, and Inu Nefesh. Our Mishnah is speaking also about a girl who's Mureses. There, the father and the husband, and what type of Nedarim they could be made for, are identical. And that's why the Mishnah couldn't point out this difference. Says the Gemara, my Tama. And the Ran says a beautiful Pshat in this Gemara. He says, why is the father treated differently than the husband? That the father, we say, does take over the husband's position, and the husband doesn't take over the father's position. Answers the Gemara, Damak Rabbeinu Er Beis Avia. That only Beis Avia does she return to after the husband passes away, not to the father's, not to the husband's home. Meis Habal Nusroiku Rishus Menolan. So now the Gemara asks, and where, Taka, do we know this halacha from? That when a husband dies, the father takes over the husband's position. So the Ran makes a very interesting diuk. He says, first the Gemara asks, my tama. The Gemara uses the words, my tama. And then the Gemara uses the words, manolam. He says, every word of the Gemara is precise. What's the reason? The first the Gemara asks the question, in my tama. And then the Gemara uses the words, manolam. He says, my tama means one thing, and manola means another thing. My tama is a lomdasha shaila. It's a lomdasha question. Why do we treat the father different? Why do we treat the husband different than the father? I want to know why. My tama. Manola is not a lomdasha question. Manola is just looking for a source. Our Mishnah taught us a din of misreikna, that if the husband dies, the father takes over his position. Where do you know that from? So that's why here the Gemara uses the words Manolan, and here the Gemara uses the words Maitama. Amar Rava, Damakra, Vimhayasiya Leish, Mnedarao Aleha. So the Gemara is pointing out the words Hayasiya. Makish Kaidme Havai Shnia, Lekaidme Havai Rishina. The Torah compares the status of this girl after her first marriage, her first Erisin is terminated, to the situation before her first Erisin. Now we know, Ma Koid Mehavai Rishoina, before she was ever Mureses, the Aloch is Av Meifel Chudei, as we've been explaining, then the father has sole jurisdiction over her, and he's made for himself. Av Koid Mehavai Shnia, so too, before the second Erisin, Av Meifel Chudei, the father's made for himself. And that's why the Aloch is, that before the second Erisin, when she no longer has the Oris over her, because he died, the father's alone. Ask the Gemara, fine. The Torah is clearly teaching us, with these words, Hayasiya, that if a girl was Mureses, and then that Erisin terminated, she reverts back to being solely under the jurisdiction of a father. However, ask the Gemara, you know maybe where we're going to apply that then? Only regarding the Dorim that were not there when she was Mureses. Nun Dorim that she makes after her Erisin terminated. Those Dorim will say that the father has complete jurisdiction over. Ava Dorim Shneiro L'Oris, if she made a nether while she was Mureses, And then that Eirusin terminated. Maybe since that neder was made, while she was under the joint jurisdiction of a father and a husband, then we can't have a situation that the father should have the right to be made for those nedarim alone. Av nedarim sheniru laris, the nedarim that she made while she was mureses, loy motzei mefer, those nedarim she can't have a father be made for alone. Says the Gemara, then I don't need a pasuk for. If we're going to say that the pasuk is only referring to nedarim that were made after the eirusin was terminated, and to teach us that the father has sole jurisdiction over those nedarim, that's obvious. Even the nedarim shelo ner la'aris, that she's completely under the father's jurisdiction, obviously, that only the father's made for those nedarim. If the Torah goes out of its way to add the words, hayasiyah, it must be coming to teach us the chiddush, that even the nedarim that she made while she was mureses, if that eirusin terminates, the father gets the position, the power to be made for those nedarim alone, even though previously those nedarim didn't need the husband's involvement. So we learned at the end of the Mishnah, "Bezei yofa koich av mikoich abal," that the father has more power over the husband regarding the concept of the nesroikna, and then we said that the husband has more power than the father regarding bagrus. Hechidami. Ask them exactly what does the Mishnah mean? Ilei mishekitcha kishinara, the kedushin took place while she was a nara, ubagra, and then she became a bageris. Michti, ask the Gemara. We know misa mitzia mershus ha'av, that once a father dies, we learned the Gemara masechtik subis, that if a father passes away, the rights that a father has in being mefer the nedarim of a daughter don't pass on to his yorshim. That means her brothers will not be able to be made for her nedarim. Michti, misa metzim reshus av, or bagrus metzim reshus av. A girl becomes begaris, as we learned in our Mishnah. Her father no longer has jurisdiction over her. Ma misa, and just like we know that the halacha is that if the father passes away, loy nesroitna reshus labal, the husband doesn't take over the father's rights, as we just finished explaining in the previous piece of Gemara. The father takes over the husband's rights, but the husband doesn't take over the father's right. So too, af bagris lo nesroikna l'shus bal, that even if she becomes a bogeris, where her father no longer has rights on her, the husband can't be made from the darim alone. So the way the Ran explains the Gemara, we have here Machlokes Ran and Tosfos Rid. The Ran explains the Gemara like this. If a girl got mureses while she was a nara, even if she became a bogeris, those the nedarim she makes, nobody can be made for. Why? Her father can't be made for the nedarim because she's a bogeris, and like we just learned, once she's a bogeris, her father can't be made for the nedarim. Her husband can't be made for the nedarim because he can't be made for the nedarim alone. So those nedarim, nobody can be made for. What would be the halacha if she only made the neder after she became a bogeris? So the Ran says it doesn't make a difference. Those nedarim, until she becomes a nesua and comes completely under the jurisdiction of her husband, cannot be mufra. Tosfos Rid disagrees, and Tosfos Rid says, yes, nedarim that she made prior to becoming a bogeris, and now she's a bogeris, and a father can't be made for the nedarim, and therefore we're saying that the husband can't be made for the nedarim, that he agrees. But let's say she only expressed the neder after her bagrus, under certain circumstances, the Tosfos Rid says, her husband would be able to be made for the nedarim. So that can't be the case of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, what is the case of our Mishnah? That our Mishnah says that the father can't be made for the nedarim because she's a bogeris, and the husband can be made for the nedarim. It's kishihitcha shibogeris. The entire kedushin took place when she was already a bogeris. And since the entire kedushin took place when she was already a bogeris, so she was no longer in her father's rishus. And there the Mishnah is teaching us that under certain circumstances, her husband would be able to be made for the nedarim. Now the question is when. Obviously, it's to be understood that if he was mekadosh the girl, only erusin, and she's a bogeris, he can't be made for her in the Dharam. She's only an Arusa. A husband doesn't have that kind of jurisdiction over an Arusa that he should be able to be made for the Dharam himself. It must be. It's like a Mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Daf Ayin Gimel that says, HaBagerish Ashasa Yud Beis Chodesh, that a girl who waits 12 months. So we review a Gemara that we learned in Masechet Ksubos. The Gemara Masechet Ksubos on Daf Nun Zayin taught us the following. A girl becomes an Arusa. After Erusin comes Nisuin. The girl says to her husband, I want to get married. I want to have Nisuin. And the husband delays it. So we learned that the halacha is that under certain circumstances, if he delayed it too long, and we're going to discuss those circumstances in a moment, he has to start supporting her. That's the subject of the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. But before we go deeper into the Mishnah, Hakayu Fakasha, Amrta Begeris Shasha Shnei Masa Chodesh. The Mishnah is saying that a Begeris, if she wants to get married, we give the husband 12 months, and if after 12 months he doesn't want to marry her, he has to support her, and according to Elazar, he could be made for her in the Dharam. But that's not true. But Begeris Lamali Shnei Masa Chodesh. Why by Begeris do we give the husband 12 months. Begeris, belama yom sagilo. And now we review the Gemara Masechet Ksubos. Rav Huna says, the Gemara says in Masechet Ksubos, Rav Huna says in Masechet Ksubos the following. Even though we learned that a couple who are murasais, that there's erisin, and the woman goes to the man and says, I want to have nesuin. So if she's a nara, or she's younger, the husband could tell her, we're going to wait 12 months. Why does he have a right to tell her, wait 12 months? Because I think you need 12 months to get prepared for the wedding. That's by a girl who's a young girl, or Nanaro or Ktana. In those days, girls got married very young. So we have a girl who got married older being above 12 and a half, that she's already a Bogeris. According to Rav Huna, that girl, in anticipation of a Mitzvah Shem getting married, prepared her everything she needs for the wedding. And therefore, that girl, within 30 days, the husband has to marry her. If he delays it past 30 days, he has to support her, and according to Belezer, not only start supporting her, he has the right to be made for her nedarim. That's how Rav Huna says in Masechet Ksubos. But the Gemara Masechet Ksubos said that we don't follow Rav Huna's opinion. We say the following, that a girl who's a Bogeris gets either 30 days or a longer time from when Bagris till a year later. And I'll explain that a little better. If a girl were to become Mureses, or her husband were to ask her, become Mureses on the day of her Bagris, that's the day that she's 12 and a half, and she says, I want to get married, we hold that she gets a year, because she needs a year after her Bagris that we say that she already prepared for a wedding. If she's already above 13 and a half, she's already 13 and a half, so we have a whole year between her Bagris and the time of her Erison and her demand to get married, then we give her the minimum 30 days. But let's say she became Mureses on her 13th birthday. So she was a Bagris for 6 months. We hold that we give her 6 months. The time from 13 to 13 and a half, whichever is longer. A month is a minimum, but if there's more than a month from her Bagris till 13 and a half, we give till the age of 13 and a half, up to a year. But no matter, so now the Gemara says, that's how to understand the Mishnah. Tani Bagaris. A Bagaris, depending on how much time elapsed from her birthday till her Erisin, Vishishasa Yudais Chaydish, or a Naru Ktana, get 12 months. Become Makam Kasha. The question that we asked was the same question. Our Mishnah is seemingly teaching us this then, that a girl who's a Bagaris, and her husband starts supporting her, the husband has a right to be made for Nidorim. But that's the identical case of the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. Why do we need two Mishnahs to teach us the exact same thing? Answers the Gemara. Ibai say Mahocha Dafka. So the Ran explains the Gemara as following. There's a rule throughout Shas we always follow a Stam Mishnah. That the halacha always follows a Mishnah that doesn't have a machloikis in it. But if we have a Mishnah that's a Stam, v'achkach machloikis, we have the Mishnah first saying a Stam ruling, and then the same subject is left to a machloikis in a later Mishnah, then we don't follow the Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah does indeed, is the main source for this thing. And our Mishnah does indeed follow the opinion of Rav Elezer, who holds that a girl who's a Bogeres, her husband has to start supporting her after whatever time we just described, and he starts to be made for an Adarim. But that's the opinion of Rav Elezer. The Mishnah purposely left this subject to be rediscussed on Daf Ayin Gimel to teach us the opinion of the Rabbanon that disagree with Rav Elezer, that and hold that even though the husband's already supporting her, even though the husband's already supporting her, he still has to, he doesn't have the right to be made from the Dorim by himself until Nisun actually takes place. And that's why we have this Mishnayis discussing the same subject twice. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining it, Bogeres Dafka. The subject that we're discussing about a Bogeres, does the husband, once she's a Bogeres and he's supporting her, have the right to be made for her Nadarim on that? The subject is really, the place for that subject is really on Daf Ayin Gimel. However, the reason this subject is also raised in our Mishnah is either the Nasa Reisha B'zeh, Nasa Sefer Nem B'zeh. And again, the Rishonim explained the Gemara like this. The next Mishnah, not the next Mishnah, Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel is the place that we're going to be discussing this subject. That's the place for that discussion. Our Mishnah, however, wanted to mention, as we explained our Mishnah, the differences between a father and a husband, where a husband has more power, and when the father has more power, and contrast them. So our Mishnah lumps all these dinim together. Not because the Mishnah here is really trying to teach us the halachos of a Bogeres. The halachos of a Bogeres will learn a mitzvah shem and dafayin gimel. But our Mishnah just mentions it to contrast, here the father is stronger regarding the Nisroikna, and here the husband is stronger regarding Bogeres.